Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
For something to manifest would be for it to show itself. So when the sun is rising, when it comes over the horizon and you can, or it comes from behind Pioneer Mountain, Pioneer Peak, it comes, it pops out, it's manifested. So when we say, oh God, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. When we say let it rain and we want God to show up, what does that look like? Ah, you're too far away. I'm coming down. What does that look like? God, manifest your power. Oh, I did legs this afternoon. Jesus. He just failed on me big time. That was not old age. I pushed a bunch of weight this afternoon. No. If your knees hurt when I just jumped, you're the one that has the issue, not me. Okay. So when you ask God to show up in power, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, we would say it. Holy Spirit, come. We want him to manifest. So what does that look like? It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just because your hair stands on end. Some of us have less hair than others. But if your hair stands on end, that is not a show me that in Scripture. And your arm hair will stand on end. That's not in Scripture. Goosebumps. Anybody got goosebumps? Goosebumps, goose pimples. That doesn't sound good. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. How do you know when God has actually showed up, the gifts show up? Two grandmas, no offense to any of the grandmas, it's a true story, prayed for revival in Northern California. They fasted, they prayed, they were contending for God to pour out his Spirit. So in that church in Northern California, God poured out his Spirit. Young people started coming in. It's years ago, this hippie movement, the Jesus movement, all the long hairs started coming in. All the hippies started coming in and tie-dyes. And some of you got saved at that time. Praise the Lord. And God started healing people, delivering people. People were getting filled with the Spirit. People weeping, people crying, people laughing. I mean, all kinds of things happening in that church. And these two ladies who were they birthed forth that revival along with others that were in prayer, and they quit going to church. So the pastor, you know, they're the folk like us. They're in every service. They're to all the services Sunday morning, all the services Sunday night. They're in the midweek. They're in life groups. They're everywhere, and they just dropped out. So the pastor went to go see them. I think they were sisters, if I recall correctly. So the pastor went to go see them, visit them, and said, hey, are you guys okay? He said, no, we're not okay. Well, what happened? It's a chaos at the church. We're so grieved. He said, but you prayed for an outpouring. Not that kind. I found that when you pray for God to pour out his Spirit, you should take whatever kind he sends. And it needs to be biblical. So we want an outpouring, but we don't want tongues. Can you imagine if Dwayne Hall is over our men's ministry? Can you imagine if I invited you over to my house, Brother Dwayne? Would you come? Would you come just for a second? You can come. You're going to come over my house. Would you bring your daughter too? She's sweet. Bring your daughter. But don't bring your wife. Don't receive that now. That'd be pretty stinking offensive, would it not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be friends anymore. Like, really, what's the problem? That's like inviting God to come in power, but don't invite his Spirit. It's like, Jesus, we want you to come, but we don't want that. This is a unashamedly Holy Spirit-filled church. Amen. That is who we are. And you know something? It's not for everybody. Thank God for the body of Christ. But that's who we are. It is a part of who we are, and we are unapologetic about it. There is going to be tongues. There is going to be prophecy. There is going to be the manifestation of the Spirit with gifts in operation. That is how we do church. That is what I got saved under. I will never go to a seeker-friendly model, ever. Are seeker friendly wrong? That's in other words, letting the seekers be more comfortable and catering to them. No, I don't think it's wrong. You should do church how God leads you to. Now, quenching the Holy Spirit, that talks about that being wrong. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's clearly wrong biblically. But whatever model you have as a church that God directs you in, then you should do that. But God has directed us to be a church that is unapologetically Spirit-filled. And sometimes it just seems a little unusual. I want you to be comfortable. Thank God for a roof over our head. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. I thank God for nice, comfortable chairs. Many times when we ask for God to pour out his Spirit, it comes in ways that's a little bit unusual. I'm reminded, now, depending upon where you go, it seems that there's different manifestations. There's different sort of cultural behaviors in the Spirit. I've seen people at different places, like the Toronto blessing. There was a certain way that they would respond when the Holy Spirit came. Somebody said, well, I don't respond that way. Okay, I don't personally either. There's a lot of hoeing and shirking, and I'm not saying that's wrong. That's just not how the Spirit operates in me, mostly. Why do you say that? Because there are times where it has been extremely embarrassing on one hand because he touched me so loud and so hard. Loud, I said loud. When Pastor Aaron Anderson got called to be a part of Kings and to take over Kings Antioch, that was a process. It was a part of another church. We'd been friends for years. He and his wife, Pastor Kinu, we sat down and we were having lunch. And I remember being at Cracker Barrel before they messed it up with the logo and then repented and then went back to the original logo. I think it was Cracker Barrel. Now, he tells a story different than I remember, and I think he's got it wrong. But I think my wife also says some things like that about my memory. But this is how I remember it. His story seems very embellished. We're sitting there, we're drinking coffee, having breakfast or lunch, I don't know which one it is. We start talking about, oh, God's leading us out. He says, we're going to go. I said, where are you going? He says, I feel like we need to go take over a church in California. Well, when he says that, I get so touched by the Holy Spirit that I'm like, I'm still chewing. You know what I mean? And I let out a moan, oh, and I double over. Now, he says I went to the floor. That did not happen. In my mind, that's not what happened. But I did. I literally went under the power of the Spirit. You can say, couldn't you quench? No, I actually couldn't quench. It was totally overwhelmed. I thought, Lord, how rude. These older people there at Cracker Barrel and people staring at me. And it's people like think I need the Heimlich, that I'm choking. You know, it's bad. And I'm moaning like that. It sounded like that. And Pastor Aaron's like, he's all right. He's all right. All of his hair is standing on end. And the Lord let me up but a few seconds later. And I thought, oh. And I just said, you're supposed to go to California with Kings. I knew that's what I prophesied over him like that. It was so strong like that. I want to just impart to you and teach you and look at some scriptures and give you keys to flowing and supernatural healing. But really, it could probably be keys to the supernatural. Every healing is supernatural. Every one. Whether you got it from a doctor. You know, your body heals itself. I cut my finger here. And man, it hurt. And you know what? It doesn't hurt anymore. Well, why is that? Because it healed. Well, who healed it? Oh, the Lord healed it. But your body heals itself. Your body will repair itself. If you break a bone, that's evidence of God's handiwork by the very fact that your body heals itself. It fights disease. It's a miracle. Come on, somebody say it's a miracle. Now that's healing. And you could call it supernatural because it really is quite amazing. And all doctors know what I'm talking about. It's amazing. Isn't that right, doctor? It's amazing that your body can heal itself. Can even regenerate hair follicles, I think. I don't know. I haven't had that and I don't care to have it. I like being bald. It's awesome. You guys think about your hair. I never think about it. Healing. Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. For those of you that are into reading, Catherine Coleman, I Still Believe in Miracles, should be mandatory reading for anybody who wants to flow in power. Great, great, great book. Christ the Healer is another great book to read. Great, great, great book. Feed on miracles. Feed on the supernatural. Now, how many of you heard of the debacle that's taken place recently in some of the charismatic circles? Raise your hand if you have. Well, it's not enough, so I'm just keep going. I think I'm going to speak to it on Sunday. There's a breakout of really grievous things that have happened regarding some people that I know, but by the grace of God, I wasn't associated with them. It's very sad. You say, what are you talking about? Well, perhaps I'll deal with it on Sunday. But it's really, anytime the church gets hurt, it's not good for the church. And I'm glad things are exposed. The Lord expose all sin. Amen. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. We had we had Billy Burke here not long ago. How many of you were here for the Billy Burke meetings? We should probably have him back. That guy is unusual, man. I mean, he's unusual. He's like surfer dude, but then he wears like white suits and crazy clothes and he's just really unusual. He had a great move. Miracles took place here. And miracles took place when he went over to Antioch. Cars were parked like a mile away. People couldn't even get in the building. They had such an outpouring. Miracles still happen today. I want you to say that. Miracles still happen today. And almost in every service, we're praying for the sick. And we're going to do it tonight. And you're going to get healed tonight. So what brought about this message? I've been seeing an increase in supernatural power and miracles such that I've never seen before. And I thought, you know something? Something's happening. I feel like God's dropping keys into my spirit. My faith is just increasing for healing. And I'm seeing more and more miracles. I'm talking about notable miracles. Blind eyes, deaf ears. People that have all kinds of issues and problems getting healed. Now, that's happened here. It happens all the time. Cast out devils. You say, do we cast out devils at this church? Absolutely. Just because it doesn't scream and make a scene doesn't mean devils aren't getting cast out. Devils get cast out even during worship, potentially. You might feel a little bit lighter. Maybe when you walked across the threshold, all of a sudden you had oppression left. It could be a demonic assignment on your life. I mean, I don't know. I just know that God heals, God delivers, God saves. God raises the dead, heals the sick, sets the captives free. Can you say amen? Amen. Why, we're going to read Acts here in a moment, but why do we believe that God heals? Why do we believe that God does miracles? Because his word says it. God declares himself as healer in the Old Testament. Okay, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey. Go to Exodus 15. We'll go back to Acts 3. Glad I didn't give you notes. Exodus 15 says this in verse 26. And he said, if you listen, I got to stop. If. Everybody say if. If. It's covenant language. If you do this. If you listen carefully. So it's covenant language. If then clauses indicate your responsibility to do whatever he's about to say. There's in every covenant, there's covenant responsibilities and covenant privileges. Can you say amen? So he's giving responsibility. Now, mind you, this is before the law. This is before the Ten Commandments. They've just come out of the house of bondage, another name for Egypt, with the silver and the gold. He brings them out. It's really the greatest healing service ever. 2 million people, there was not one feeble among them, says the Psalms. He brought them out with silver and gold. There was not one feeble among them. And he brings them out. He just defeats the strongest nation in the world, Egypt. Passover, death of the firstborn, the 10 plagues, all of that. They come out, parts the Red Sea, they cross over the Red Sea, Pharaoh chases them, and then they all drown. I heard somebody say, they've got it wrong. We went and traced the steps, and it's an error in the original language. It was the Reed Sea. It was the Reed Sea, which is only about 3 feet deep. And I love what my friend said. Really, the Reed Sea? I don't believe that's true. But if it was, it's even a greater miracle because God drowned people in 3 feet. A whole army got drowned in 3 feet of water. It's even, look what the Lord has done, yeah. I love that. But they go on from there, Miriam with the tambourine. No tambourines here. I think Dee is the only one that's allowed to play tambourine. And we can take applications for anybody else. You have to pass her tests. Because most people can't keep a beat, can't clap right, rhythmically challenged. So she's playing the tambourine and she leads out the ladies and they're singing this incredible prophetic song and off they go and off they go. And at some point the song ends and the day ends and they're thirsty, but there's no water. And they go day number two, no agua, which is Spanish for water. They go day number three, no water. 3 days, no water. And at that point, the cattle are collapsing. The babies are crying. Their lips are chapped. I mean, we read through this and just be like, wow, how amazing. Yeah, they all think they're going to die. And they're like, Lord brought us out here to kill us. Moses, you're lame. The leeks and the garlic and the thing that you see them complaining. They just remind me of us sometimes. And at 3 days, they look and they see water. So what a day that is. I think the tambourine came back out. I think they started running for the water. And when they get there, it's poison. 3 days, no water. It's a life or death encounter, life or death experience. They get to the water and it's poison. It's bitter waters. It's the waters of Marah, and Marah means bitter. So they can't drink it. And they murmur and they complain. By the way, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, if you want to go and look at that, underline it for all of you that complain a lot. Because if you murmur and complain, you open up a door for the devil to whoop your backside. Everybody say, whoop. Oh, that sounded good. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. Whoop. So if you want a can of whooping, go ahead and start complaining. Go ahead and start arguing. Go ahead and move to the place of ungrateful and go read Romans chapter 1. And Romans 1 says that an attitude of ingratitude is an idol, basically, that'll cause you to spiral down and be flushed out. It'll cause you, actually, an attitude of ingratitude, you follow it all the way, causes you to become perverse, sexually perverse. I don't believe that. Go read it and then go take a look. Go look at people that are complaining and arguing all the time. They just seem to get worse and worse and worse. And soon they leave God. Soon they're not serving God. Soon they make God of them their own understanding. And they start worshiping something else and they end up getting perverse. That process can be long or short. I've seen it both. Just don't start down the road. Everybody repent right now. Lord, forgive us for being grumblers at times. Moses begins to pray, and God shows him a tree. Now, the NIV says a piece of wood, but it's really a tree in the original. And he throws the tree in the water, and the water is made sweet, and God speaks to him this promise, Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord. Now, the tree goes in the water. The water's healed. They're all drinking. Can you imagine? I mean, they just got their faces in that, all the babies, everybody's just sucking down water. God speaks to him and says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, and if you pay attention to his commands, and if you keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Understanding the constructs of the language here, it's present tense. And it said, I like the King James better. It says, I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee. Healeth. In other words, he's past, he's present, and he's your future healer. He's always healing. He's healing now. He doesn't ever stop. It's not like he's a past healer. Of course he is. But he's the healer now. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah our healer. That's what that's talking about. And that is a really foundational text to understand. It's God's will to heal you. Come on, say it. It's God's will. And if you have an argument in your mind right now, you have what's called a stronghold. Who made you? Who made you the author? Well, it didn't heal me yet. So what does that mean? There's timings involved. But certainly your unbelief is going to cause you to be a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And you need to set it right tonight that God is the healer and he's able to heal you no matter what the problem. And he's able to set the captives free. He's able to fix it. He's able to raise it up. He's able to do it. Can you shout amen in the house of God? Exodus 23 and verse 25, worship the Lord your God and his blessings will be on your food and your water. I will take away sickness from among you. And none of you will miscarry or be barren. I will give you full lifespan. Everybody say full lifespan. Recently, I found and discovered in a location that the young adults in that area, and I've discovered actually it's nationwide. It's not talked about. There are more miscarriages now than there have ever been in the history of mankind that they know of. Do you find that odd? It's demonic. It is a demonic thing. It's evidence of the curse. And somebody said, well, it's related to our food. It's related to vaccines. It's related to. I don't know. I just know it's not of God. And I come against that thing in Jesus' name. I pray now. No, I pray from this house. It's not like something we talk about it all the time. It's very private. And it's very, very difficult for a mother to go through that as well as a father. I pray in this house, no miscarriages. In Jesus' name, according to your plan and will, we thank you for life. Come on, somebody say thank you for life. I think you could take tithers' rights and apply it to that. Your fruit will not fall off the vine before its time. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15. We are still going back to Acts 3. I'm just not there yet. Are you ready? Deuteronomy 7 verse 14. Pardon me. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless. We're going to have like a bumper crop of babies. It's a noble thing. Get married and have babies. Amen. We're done. My wife and I, we're done. We've had ours. You have yours. I think righteous people ought to have a lot of babies. All right, where are we? The Lord will keep you free from every disease. Look at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 7. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. I'm going to say it again. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. It is a covenant right. It is children's bread. It is a part of living for God. He will heal you of disease. And if you come up with an argument right now on how your auntie died and she loved God, I don't know why that is. I'm just teaching you the word. Learn the word, apply it to your life, and don't stand and tolerate what you've got a covenant to get over with. Stand on the covenant. Come on, somebody say, I got a covenant. And this is Old Testament. You got a New Testament covenant better than the old. He will not afflict you with any of the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but will inflict them on all who hate you. All the haters out there getting Emrons right now. Verse 16. Let's go to Psalm 103. He's like, Emron? You can go to KSM, be a part and learn how to understand and study your Bible, Emron. Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your... Does it say all? All? Does it say some of your diseases? It says all. It says all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on. These are promises that you read through Deuteronomy and let it go deep down into the city of your soul. You'll begin to weep. Healing belongs to you. Freedom belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Provision belongs to you. Quit living beneath your God-given, blood-bought right and begin to exercise by faith the promises and see things change. Quit making an excuse. Or read your phone and keep scrolling and live that half-Christian life. Swipe away. Want another one? Yes, Proverbs 3, verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. My bones are being nourished right now. I've got health coursing through my body right now. Why is that? Because I'm not wise in my own eyes. I fear the Lord. Raise your hand if you fear the Lord. Then your bones are being nourished too. But it comes, fear of the Lord is much more than raising a hand, all 50 of you. You know, you can grow in that. Raise two hands. I want to grow in the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I'm not going to listen to my 2-pack-a-day aunt who smokes cigarettes and criticizes me for tithing. I don't have an aunt like that, but maybe you do. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you were called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. Jesus healed the sick in Matthew 8 and verse 17. See a fulfillment of this promise. When evening came, verse 16, Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out spirits with a word, and he healed some of the sick. No, it doesn't say that. He healed how many? All. He healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Again, the Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament reality. So Jesus, as he comes, is the dawning of the Messianic age. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And where the king is, the kingdom of darkness has got to go. If you'll get in the word and you'll internalize it and you'll get it, you got to meditate on it and go and ruminate. You know that word? Ruminate. Thank you. Just run it over and over and over in your mind. I remember having that scripture. It says that I have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I'll model for you what I'm talking about. I have the same spirit, the very same spirit, the exact same spirit. That spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus, the power that raised Jesus. Power that raised Jesus lives on the inside of me. I have the same spirit. I've got the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Resurrection power lives in me. The power of God dwells on the inside of me. I mean, you start quoting those things, something happens. Your spirit starts getting bigger and stronger, and you start standing up, and faith starts being released. That's why I'm preaching the word. This is not the Encyclopedia Britannica, which we don't even use now. We have Wikipedia and other things like that, which is oftentimes wrong. It's the word of God. And he stands over his word to see it performed. And if you'll learn to speak it, you'll learn to obey it. Faith is acting on God's word. So you get a promise from God and you begin to move forward and you don't let up until it comes to pass. You say, but that takes a long time. It might. I'm trying, Rodney. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh God, help me. Throughout the church age, we're in the church age. Throughout the ages, the power of God was put on display to heal. John G. Lake is one of the ones who was powerfully used. It is said by John, of his ministry that 30,000 healings per month took place worldwide at John G. Lake's ministry. So they record 30,000 healings worldwide per month. Spokane, Washington was considered, that's where the base of his ministry was considered the healthiest city in America. 100,000 documented cases of healing. A hospital shut down for lack of business. Stories were printed in the local newspapers. And a friend of mine who had a friend who was an EMT. He was an EMT, and so he's out there on emergency calls all the time. And people would die. He prayed over 60 to 65 dead people. Dead. Like, they're dead. They did everything they could. They don't come back. They paddle them. They do everything they can. No result. And of course, he'd be praying the whole time. It's hard to say, actually, who came back and who didn't. But he knows for sure they were dead, declared dead. They're dead. And he prayed. And he had, out of 65 people, five come back. Well, that's not a very good ratio. Unless you were dead, you'd be pretty happy about that. Unless you went to heaven, then you'd get really irritated. You know, people that come back from heaven in Africa, there's all kinds of stories of people coming back like they were dead, they died, they were believers. They come back and they're like angry. They come back, oh, why'd you bring me back here? This place is lame. They want to die. You know, I was in prayer. Can I have keys? Would you play keys for me, Minister Heidi? I was in prayer and reviewing my notes, and I began to weep for the goodness of God. And I look over at my wife, and she's in the kitchen doing wifey stuff. I'm sure men do the same thing. That didn't come out right. Anyway, I looked over at my wife, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, just looking around. I started thinking about my children and the blessing of God. I started thinking about all the goodness that God has rained on me and where he's brought us from. And my gosh, I just began to weep. And I said to the Lord, I said, oh, this is so good. Thank you. And he whispered back and said, gets better. I thought, that's where the scripture says it goes from glory to glory. All right, we're still going to go to Acts 3. All right, we read 1 Corinthians. One of the gifts of the Spirit is healing. Every gift is a gift from God. Every healing is a gift. There's various kinds of healing. There's physical healing. There's emotional healing. There's mental healing. Early on in my walk with the Lord, my body was working fine. I was in my mid to later 20s, mid-20s. My body was working good. I was brokenhearted. I'd answer every altar call. I'd have hands laid on me. God would touch me. I had the power of God come on me, and I would just get a little freer every time. And sometimes really in a really exponential growth, and other times not sure what happened, but something happened, and I just kept moving. I would answer altar calls all the time. All the time. I was just hungry. I'm still hungry. I'd answer my own altar call if I could. You went with me to some other church and there's an anointing, I'm going. There's an opportunity for some man of God or woman of God to lay hands on my wife and I and get an impartation. Buddy, I'm the first in line. I'm like, oh, excuse me. I get up in there. I'm like, hey. In great outpourings like at Brownsville, there's a certain group of people that are used to being around crowds. I don't know if it's the Chinese or maybe. They would crawl. They would be on their hands and knees, the place to be packed. I'm talking a couple thousand people packed. You can't get to the front. You can't get to the people that are laying hands on people. They would get on their hands and knees and crawl all the way through the crowd, all the way to the front until they found the nice shoes that are facing the other direction. They'd find the shoes and they'd stand up, boop, and then bam, they lay hands on them. And when you're really hungry, you don't care if you had to crawl and you get thirsty and desperate. All right. Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John, verse 3, pardon me. I got that right? It's verse 1, yes. Are you all there? Acts 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of. You know, if you want miracles, let me just say that's a key right there. If you don't have an hour of prayer, you might develop that. I'd encourage you strongly. You have to have a time of prayer. And I believe you have to have corporate prayer. Hour of prayer. That's the ninth hour. Next verse. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called, beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. They knew that he was the one who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wonder and amazement. Silver and gold I do not have. Well, that'll destroy a prosperity gospel, but unless you really understand what prosperity is. Silver and gold don't give you new legs. Real prosperity is having what God wants you to have when you need to have it. Real prosperity is being who God wants you to be, saying what God wants you to say, doing what God wants you to do. Real prosperity is hearing in the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It does include resources. It does include provision. And it definitely includes the power of God to heal the sick. I mean, he didn't need money. I mean, that would have helped him, but he really needed a pair of legs. And he's about 40 years old. That's old. To lie down every day. I mean, it's amazing. A notable miracle is done. Wow. The faith of Peter and John are seen. It created an expectation. I was at this church last weekend, and they brought to me a man. The pastor said, we have this guy. He has back surgery on Monday. His L3 and L4 are severely restricted, and he needs to have surgery. And he has burning down his legs, and he has a problem walking. He definitely can't bend over. He can't do any of that. So they bring him up at the end of Sunday morning, and they say, would you pray? Well, I said, I will pray. And I started praying, and I thought, he needs to come back tonight. Now, I know that might sound odd to you, but there's a dimension of corporate faith. And I knew that God was going to pour out a spirit and healing on Sunday night because I had a word from the Lord already. So I said, I'm gonna pray for you, but I'm gonna give you some instruction. And he had plans that night to do something else. I said, cancel your plans. He said, okay. And I laid hands on him and he got like 10%. Now 10% when you're really in a lot of pain is like, thank you, Jesus. He got a 10% healing. I said, I want you to go home and I want you to listen to worship. I mean the kind of worship that really touches your heart, and I want you to worship all afternoon. And I want you to get your Bible out and I want you to read every single healing scripture you can find, everyone. Do that all the way up to the point where you need to get in your car and you drive down here, and I want you to come here. You come here Sunday night and I believe that God is gonna do a major miracle for you. And he looked at me and he said, I'm gonna do it. I said, good. Now I've said that before. You never see them come back, mostly. Sunday night, power of God flowing. I'm standing approximately in this location, the sanctuary. I look over and all I can tell you is I see that the man had faith to be healed. I looked at him and I said, Jonathan, that was his name. I said, Jonathan, come here. And he struggles to get up and he comes, and every step he takes, God's power begins to increase on him and to increase on me. He walks up and he's coming up and he's coming up. I lay hands on him and it was like getting hooked up to two ends of a battery. He starts to shake and I prayed over him and prophesied over him. He was a pastor that got his church taken from him from some stupidity at some bored, demonized church. And he hadn't preached, it was broken, and he was in his 30s, surgery on Monday. I prayed for him, he began to shake and he went down. We brought him back up carefully and I had him touch his toes. He looks at me and says, I can't. I said, I know you can't, just do what you can do. He begins to go down and he just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and he touches the floor. And I'm like, I don't know if he could do that before or not. I look, his wife has lost her mind. Like she sees that, her eyes get big and she starts coming and the mother starts coming. Now mind you, before he came, he said, you know, my brother said that I'm stupid to come here. I said, well, you're not. His brother's watching online. You're dumb to go to that church. You should stay home and rest up. You've got surgery in the morning. He gets up and he says, I think I'm being healed. I said, you are being healed. And I laid hands on him again. And then I took him by the hand and I begin to walk with him. And his pastor friend got the other side and we began to walk. And we began to walk and we took a turn. And he starts walking better and more stable with every step. And he starts walking. By the time we hit the back of the church, I said, come on, let's jog a little bit. So we're kind of doing one of these nice geriatric jogs. And he doesn't want to do that. He wants to run. So he starts running. And I'm like, dude, easy. I'm saying easy, easy. I didn't want him to be like, fall over. I'm like, Jesus. I'm going to lay hands on myself. I'm telling you, easy, easy. Because he's like in a full sprinting. By the time we got up here, I laid hands on him, prophesied him back into the ministry. He's going to be preaching and praying and prophesying again. He's going to pastor again. Power God hit him. Power God hit his wife. His mother comes up and she's weeping. I laid hands on her. She falls out by a word of knowledge. Prophesied over the son. He canceled his surgery on Monday. I told him, listen, dude, go get the doctor's report and take a picture of it. I want to see it. I want to see what the new MRI is. I want to see it. Come on, God is able to do miracles. He's able to do miracles. He had that condition for a couple years. Why didn't God, he'd gone to church. He's a churchgoer. Why did he get healed before that? I don't know. Four words, four main words. And this is for those of you, and I think I'll close and we'll minister to you. I have a whole bunch more. Maybe we'll do part two later. This is for those who you have been believing for your miracle and you've answered 100 altar calls and you've come to the front and you got 10% or no percent and you're like, well, if the Lord's a healer, where's the healer? Where's my healing? Where's my breakthrough? Where's my healing? And so oftentimes because of delay, we can get discouraged and we can get to a place, well, maybe the Lord, I know he's going to heal me in heaven, but you lose your faith to be healed now. When I went to lay hands on him, I said, do you believe you can be healed? And in the morning, he said, I don't know. I said, well, you don't have to believe. I believe. Somebody has to have faith. When faith must be present. There's sovereign touches of God. Four words for timing. Chronos, chronological or sequential order. This service is moving forward chronologically, minute after minute. It's 8:24, and I'm bringing it in for a landing right now. I'm going to pray for you. We'll turn you loose by about 8:30, and if you need prayer, you want a miracle tonight, you're going to get one. I'm going to believe for that. Can you say yes? It's chronological order. Okay, kairos. It's the second word. Second main foundational word for timing. There's some others, but these are the main ones. Kairos. It's an appointed time. It's an opportune time. I like saying it this way, it's where time and destiny meet. It's that exact dot. It's a specific time. When you had your 50th birthday, when you got your Verdi bird and you were 5-6 years old. It's that specific time when you got married on December 6th. Mom's like, six, yes, it's a six. 1997, specific day. All right, kairos. Horea, that's an hour, a moment, a decisive point in time, specific or often a climactic moment. Like John 17, verse 1, the hour has come, the horea has come. The word for the gate here, the Horea gate. Because when God does it exactly in his time, it's beautiful. Beautiful is the word for Horea. And when he gets healed, having been brought there for 40 years, Jesus walked past him. Jesus walked past him. Jesus saw him, but Jesus didn't heal him. Could it be that his miracle was delayed, at least according to human understanding, but in God, it was the Horea. It was the exact moment, the beautiful moment by which he would heal him, set him free, give him new legs and new ankles, where he would be leaping and jumping and praising God and go in, and thousands of people witness it and thousands of people get saved. Some of you have been believing for your breakthrough and it hasn't happened yet, but I'll tell you, if you faint not and you hold on and you contend and you get in the word like it's a howitzer and you mow down the opposition and you stand, and having done all else, you continue to stand, continue to believe, you receive to God, you would resist the devil and he will flee. He will bring you to a Horea moment. He will bring you a moment of beauty where he releases his power and your whole family perhaps finds out, or a miracle takes place that you never could have happened. Oh, and you know something I love about what is seemingly delayed, when it comes to pass, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It causes you to love God in a way like, oh, why did I even doubt for a moment? You came through. We are in a beautiful gate moment here. The church is going to double in size, and after that, it'll double again. God is going to raise up leaders. He's going to install people, elevate people. He's going to plant churches. Juneau is going to open. When? I don't know. Anchorage opened. We don't need to pray for that anymore, except there's three other extensions in Anchorage. When are those going to go open? I don't know. I pray for leaders. I pray for people to get healed and set free and set on fire, anointed people. I'm praying for that. You're the answer to that prayer. You're the answer to that prayer. And God will put his power on you, and you, like Peter, like John, like those times gone by, would have faith to put a demand on the power, not silver and gold, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I command you to rise up out of your lethargy tonight. I prophesy and speak to you. Your condition, your situation is subject to change. It's temporal. It's temporal. It's subject to change. No matter what you're going through, God can set you free. God can empower you. God can fill you full of fire. He can heal and cause a cancer to go. He can cause a tumor to be melted. Even now, in Jesus' name, put hands upon your body if you need healing right now. Those online, you need healing right now. Come Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Crack that for me. Lift your hands to Jesus. Holy Spirit, release your power right now. Release your power right now.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.